Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to another fantastic episode of We're Not Fucking Historians with me, Hazel Hayes.
And me, Shane Todd.
I liked that one.
I've never got that wrong.
To be fair, you haven't.
I always feel like there's a lot of pressure.
To say your name correctly.
Yeah, I think in like P3 or P4, I spelled my name wrong at the top of a page and got a bit of a roasting from my class.
Oh.
I think I forgot the E on Shane. Shantod. Can I tell you something like unrelated to history, but so sad, but cute? On my first day in nursery school, when I was three,
they
went around everyone, "What's your name?" And everyone said their name. And I said, they were looking your full name.
Yeah.
And I said, Shane Todd, so quietly and quickly that my entire nursery school for about 3 weeks thought I was called Shento.
Shento.
Yeah.
So how you
my mum still calls me Shento.
Shento.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's nice, isn't it?
I decided recently to start calling you Shane Todd Funny Man.
Oh, that's good.
Didn't I? Because there was an article in the paper about you.
Call me a funny man.
Describing you as Funny Man Todd.
Yeah.
I'm going to start calling you Funny Man Todd.
Which I immediately got back to them on and said, I just want to be funny. Let's not bring gender. I'm just a funny person.
I like it.
That's all I want to
Thank you. Thank you for standing up for us. Also, do you want to talk about the photo of yourself in that article?
No.
This is a podcast and we can't show you.
That's why this is an audio podcast.
Jesus.
I just get weird. My face gets weird. It like melts when there's a camera about.
I want it on record that that's not how your face looks.
Yeah, I know.
That was a bad photo.
I know.
And like, it really made me laugh.
Most people be like, oh, they look great in photos, but not in real life. I'm the opposite. I'm the opposite.
Same. I'm actually pretty happy with how I look. I can kind of get ready and then I do the hair and makeup and I leave feeling like, yeah. And then I see a photo of how I looked that day and I'm like, oh, dear Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like the devil has possessed the camera.
That's why it would be easier to be a figure in history because they didn't have to worry about that. You know, we talk about sometimes things that happen in 1100.
You are fascinated by the fact that there's no pictures of them, aren't you?
Yeah. I almost feel like it's a conspiracy. I'm like, just release the pictures.
You cowards.
Yeah.
Okay, look, we've got a big topic today.
Great.
I'm excited for this one. I think a lot of people are going to enjoy it. We're going to have a chat about Guinness.
Guinness. There's nothing quite like a Guinness.
What are your thoughts? What are your feelings? How do you feel about Guinness?
Big fan.
You're a big fan of Guinness?
Big fan. I am
so glad because Shane, I do not drink it. And if you didn't either, that would be kind of shit and weird.
Yeah, well, I mean, by law, like statistically, one of us has to. You know?
Statistically, both of us should, really. I mean, it's quite shocking that I don't.
I remember the first time I had a Guinness.
Tell us, regale us.
I was in White's Tavern in Belfast when I was too young to be in a bar.
Mm-hmm.
And I was out with my mates from college and I didn't drink, but I didn't tell them I didn't drink. And of course, I went up to the bar, I could have a pint of Guinness because I felt like that's what I should have ordered.
Yeah.
I'm more of a woo-woo guy, you know, or like a daiquiri.
A what?
Like a woo-woo.
A woo-woo.
You never been to Hindu?
I've been on maybe two Hindus in my whole life. I try and avoid them.
What are you doing?
Not
Hindu cocktails is Hindus. Where it's at. So you can be cool and
what
drink stout.
What is a woo-woo?
A woo-woo is just a nice drink. It's like sex on the beach. It's like Mai Tai.
Got it.
Sort of stuff. Anyway, they're the drinks I really like. But whenever I was a kid, I was like, I drink Guinness, you know?
Yeah.
But it's something that everyone will tell you, you've got to acquire the taste for. Like red wine.
You just launched right in with Guinness.
Yeah, like so many different things. So I had Guinness for the first time in this bar when I was about 16. Went up to my classmates, I'm just going to get a Guinness here. And if people aren't familiar, they'll pour 3/4 of your pint.
Yeah.
And then let it settle.
Yeah.
And then pour the last quarter.
Yeah.
The barmaid poured 3/4 of a pint.
Oh
I put my hand on it and said, thank you.
Oh.
And she said,
oh God.
Love, you have to wait for the rest of it. And I said, I know.
It's not only the like that you're giving away that you're young and you don't drink, but it's like that's so sacrilegious to any Irish person.
One of the you can go to jail in Ireland for that.
You absolutely could. I was out for drinks with my friends. Whenever I go home, there's a specific group of friends I go out for drinks with, including but not limited to Sean Connolly and Kelly Hughes.
I thought you were going to say Sean Connery for a second. Great, love that.
Get us a wee bit of Guinness, money, penny. That was the worst Sean.
So bad.
Worst Sean Connery.
So bad.
I'm going to beg that the editor cut that, but I know that they're going to leave it.
Yeah.
It's funny when I'm a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Okay. But I go out with my friends for drinks when I go home at Christmas, whatever. And Kelly was once asked, could they have, someone say, would you get us a glass when you go up? She was going up to get around. Would you get us a glass of Guinness? I'm not ordering a fucking glass of Guinness for you. You'll have a pint, you'll have nothing.
Yeah. Someone talking about a half pint?
A half a glass? Fuck off.
Oh, I mean,
you can't get a half pint of Guinness.
Potentially, if you're a tourist, like full-blown tourist, backpack on the back, sleeping bag with it, you can maybe get a half pint if you want to try it.
Yeah.
But you can't go for a half pint of Guinness.
You'd be thrown out for less.
Sometimes that's a trap on the menu. And you'll just get attacked.
Just to weed just people get beat out. Up.
But it's got to be the right setting. You got to have Guinness in the right setting.
We're actually going to come up to a fact about that later, which I think you're really going to enjoy.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know much at all about the history of Guinness.
This is going to be fun. I've got a lot of facts. This one is actually a little bit different to the ones in that it's less of a story. We've got a little bit of a story about Arthur Guinness. Going to set the scene here. We're going to talk about Arthur Guinness and his life a little bit. Spoiler, he grew up. He made Guinness.
Right.
He died. Right? So that's what's going to happen with Arthur. And then we're going to just do some facts.
So like a pint of Guinness, we'll take our time.
Yeah.
It's a bit creamy.
What?
I don't know. You got to let it settle.
Yeah.
That's it.
Quite dark.
Yeah.
Great. Arthur Guinness. Man himself. He's born in County Kildare, 1725. His godfather, Arthur Price, another Arthur, was the Archbishop of the Church of Ireland. He dies, don't get attached.
You got any famous uncles?
As per. I sadly don't, no. I actually only had one uncle and he died. So that's that story.
Right. Cool. What was that about Arthur Guinness?
Arthur Guinness. So his godfather, Arthur Price, died, left him £100 to him and his father, which at the time...
Oh. That's probably like 10 billion.
It was not 10 billion. It was the equivalent of 4 years' wages.
Oh, wow.
So, depending, if you're making 2.5 billion a year.
Yeah.
Then yeah.
Right.
But 4 years' wages.
That's unreal.
That's just fucking call it quits. Tell the boss you're leaving. Fuck you. I'm off to the Bahamas.
Yeah.
He didn't do that, actually. He used the money to set up his own brewery in Leixlip, County Kildare. That was in 1755. So at the age of 34, Arthur decides to take the brave move of bringing the brewery to Dublin instead. It's doing well.
That's quite old to be doing something back then, because didn't people live to like 45? He's an old guy. He's like my age now, but...
I see what you're saying.
Is he killing it in Kildare?
I think it would have been about 60, 70.
Yeah.
Life expectancy at the time.
Is he killing it in Kildare?
Absolutely killing it in Kildare.
Right.
Yeah, he's doing well. He's doing well for himself. He decides to open a brewery in Dublin at St. James's Gate.
Yep.
Which we all know and love.
Yep.
Have you been?
No. To the Guinness factory?
It's not great.
Is it not?
And look, I know this is a running gag now that we are not helping Bord Fáilte at all.
No.
The tourism talk here has not been strong. We're basically saying it's very boring, don't go. But I will say the Guinness tour is very boring.
I actually think we're doing a lot for tourism, because we're saying sometimes go to the stuff that isn't the well-known tourist. Like, people love that. That entices people.
Yeah.
I go, listen, everyone's talking about this, but you got to go here.
Yeah. I think go to say you've been, but just don't expect... It's not Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, right? Like, it's not... You think that going in, and there's all these big like machines and vats and there's fucking beans going through pipes, and like it seems exciting, but then it really just is beans and vats for eight floors.
Some people fucking love that though.
Some people probably do.
World tour. I just want to see beans and vats.
And if so, get your ass to the fucking Guinness factory. Like, you'll have a great time.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of that. You did the little, like, the headphones telling you about stuff. And then you go all the way up all of these floors, a lot of stairs. And then you get to the pub at the top.
The Sky Bar.
Sky Bar, exactly, where you get a pint of Guinness. But I don't drink Guinness.
Right.
So there wasn't a lot in it for me.
Yeah.
Got some exercise.
As in, you won't drink it at all?
No.
You don't like the taste?
I don't like it.
Have you? How many pints would you say you've had of Guinness?
0 pints of Guinness.
But then you haven't acquired a taste for it. So
sorry,
what I'm
am I
saying
supposed
is,
to suffer through? I don't, when you say acquired
yes,
taste, am I supposed to?
Because we're
just
Irish, yes.
Oh.
We're supposed to go through years and years of not enjoying Guinness. And then eventually at some point, the goal is you go, it's actually not that bad, even though I still don't really like it.
Wow.
So do you drink red wine?
No, I have also not acquired a taste for that. If it's mulled with lots of sugar and stuff in it.
Right.
Yes.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe tonight you order a pint of Guinness. Maybe you throw a few sweeteners in.
My brother-in-law drinks it with Ribena in. I'm going to just leave that there. We're just going to
do me a favour and never let me meet your brother-in-law, who's the worst guy. He puts Ribena in it. Is he 5?
I can't, this is too personal. I just can't say the guy. I don't drink Guinness at all. So I felt like, yeah, Ribena, that's the way to go.
He puts Ribena in it.
Nerd alert! I thought people got blackcurrant and Guinness. Is that not a thing?
No one has actually done it. That's
a
joke.
Fuck.
That's a joke.
You, to be fair, were just talking about woo-woos for a while there.
Yeah, but either make a decision.
Commit.
It's stout or cocktails, depending on what mood you're in. You never mix the two.
Anyway, so that's where he's got the brewery, St. James's Gate. When he set up there, he took out a 9,000-year lease. That lease won't end until the year 10759 AD. 10,759.
10,000?
10,759.
Oh, wow.
9,000-year lease, 45 quid a year.
That's a good deal, isn't it?
I presume it's not 45 quid a year anymore.
It would have to be. You honour your agreement.
Jesus. You're just being very strict in this episode.
As soon as you spit on your hand and then shake it,
which we're assuming they did.
Okay. Oh, he would have done that, definitely. Hold on. How desperate were the letting agents to get him in?
Well, it was kind of the done thing at the time because they didn't want to outright sell a property. So they're not selling the deeds. Yeah. They retain ownership.
Yeah, but
they made these mad long leases.
Yeah, but maybe 1,000?
Maybe 1,000.
That's
right?
Even that's way too long.
Sure. But that is actually quite common on historical sites where you'll find that the leases on them were like thousands of years. But this is that's particularly long.
Yeah.
9,000? Yeah. Like, how do you, at what point are you going to give a fuck?
In the year 10,000, that's going to be a sad day for Guinness when they're booted out.
10,759 AD.
Heineken just come in and go, finally we've got it.
But they're all robots.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I love it. Okay. So they start brewing ale. And in the 1770s, Arthur starts experimenting. They use the word experimenting on this documentary I was watching, which I thought it sounded like these were like hardcore drugs. But he started experimenting with different kind of brewing styles, such as porter. He's trying all these different kinds of beers and stouts and stuff. I don't know anything about this, so correct me if I'm saying the wrong type of thing at some point. But porter was a new English beer that had been created in London in 1722. And it was different to ale, the main difference being the rich, dark colour. So we're kind of getting into the Guinness territory.
Yeah.
He's pissing about trying all these different beers, right? It's claimed that he developed an interest in dark beer during a visit to a pub in Wales. I'm going to try and pronounce the name of this town. I'm so fucking sorry. Llanfairpwllgwn.
I mean, it probably isn't that.
Safe to say it's not that. Llanfairpwllgwn. Llanfairpwllgwn. Llanfairpwllgwn.
I mean, ironically, we were talking about robots a second ago. Llanfairpwllgwn. Llanfairpwllgwn. It sounded like you short circuited.
The pub was called Gwyndw, which is easier. That's a character from Star Wars, I'm sure of it. Anyway, he liked this beer. He asked the owner for the recipe, right? So there is a claim that Guinness is actually Welsh and it came from that pub, and had it been created and made and branded by them, it would have been called Guinwys. They've spelled that G-Y-N-W-Y-S. Because why the fuck not?
I mean, it's another case where like Wales have been absolutely mugged historically because they get no kudos for St. Patrick, our boy St. Patrick, who we've done an episode on, who was very Welsh.
Very much Welsh.
Guinness, now you're
Strongbow
telling me.
Strongbow was living in Wales, we saw him.
What are you going to tell me Daniel O'Donnell if we look at his birth certificate?
I'll never look.
He's from Cardiff.
How about I promise and you promise that we'll never look?
No, if we ever come into ownership of that, we lock it away in a vault.
Why don't you just burn it? Why are you putting it in a vault?
Because I bought a vault and I need to put something in it because it cost me a lot of money.
And on that bombshell, we'll be right back after these messages with the rest of the story of Arthur Guinness.
Thirsty.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Arthur, he's into it, right? He starts brewing it. The one he was brewing then, those various different porters, was called West India Porter. That beer is still brewed today and is now known as Guinness Far and Extra Stout. It accounts for 45% of all Guinness sales globally. Very
excellent.
Popular in Asia, Africa and the Caribbean.
Yeah, Nigeria. Let me say this. I don't know a lot of facts, but I'll tell you this. See, in Nigeria,
there's a brewery.
They love Guinness.
Yeah, they brew it there.
I love that.
They, I think, drink more Guinness than the Irish do.
Yeah, could you imagine if we ended up in Nigeria and we didn't know that?
I know.
And you're like, oh, I'd love a Guinness. And then you laughed. And a local guy said, listen, mate.
Yeah.
You've come to the right place.
Oh,
you're like, mate, what are you talking about?
Lovely. Imagine that as well. Because with the heat.
Yeah.
And a nice cool glass of Guinness. I don't even drink the shit.
No, you don't drink Guinness in the heat.
But I'm kind of. Oh.
No. It's thick and creamy. Guinness a winter drink.
I really tried to get on board there. Really tried.
There's no space on the carriage to get on board.
Let me have that. Anyway, okay, fine. So Arthur dies Shock. I mean, he was born in 17, whatever. Like, we know he's dead. 1803, he dies. His son, also called Arthur Guinness, so that's handy. He takes over. And by now, Guinness is an extremely successful export. He was one of 21 children. Arthur Guinness and his wife, do I have her name? Olivia. They had 21 kids. Don't make a joke just yet, because sadly only 10 of them made it to adulthood.
No.
A lot of kids dying back then.
Arthur as well. Like, I imagine, like, setting up a brewery in Dublin in a big place like St. James's. How do you have time for all that fucking?
I don't. Well, I mean, I'm sure you could make time for the fucking, but I doubt he was doing an awful lot of child rearing.
No.
Olivia was back home doing it.
Unless, like, a pint of Guinness, he was there for like three quarters of the like childbirth and stuff, and then he just left for the rest.
The business actually stayed in the family for five generations. They still own it now. They have a majority share, but like it's less like a family run business now, but they do still own it.
Yeah, so, Guinness is a mom and pop store.
Yeah, it's hardly a little fucking place anymore, is it? So I think overall, good lad. Good lad.
I mean, that's it's a institution.
One of the only people we've talked about who didn't kill a bunch of people.
Yeah.
So that's nice.
Well, technically. I mean, Guinness is that iconic thing that makes you think of home.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Like alcoholism.
Yeah. But it's just like, even the image of like this black pint with a white head.
Yeah.
You just see that and go, Ireland. And it's mad that a drink... Yeah. Can summon all those thoughts. Like, I'll go to, you know, Glasgow for a gig and see a Guinness fan and just start crying and be like, oh, home. Oh. And I've only been away for the day.
It is very nostalgic. I don't even fucking drink the stuff.
A few myths around it I'd be keen to get your take on. One is they used to say that pregnant women should drink Guinness for iron.
It was actually believed at the time that Guinness was better for your health than, say, the gin that most of the working class were drinking, because that's all they could afford. So Arthur, thinking he's being a decent bloke, he made beer more affordable. He made Guinness more affordable for the working classes, because there it was believed to have like medicinal benefits. And yes, pregnant women, women who'd just given birth as well, were encouraged to drink Guinness. They thought it was really, really good for you.
That was the slogan. Guinness is good for you.
Yeah.
Have you proved the goodness in a Guinness? There's only one way to do it. Try a Guinness a day for a while and enjoy proving that Guinness is good for you.
That was a slogan for a very long time until the advertising standards came in and were like,
yeah.
So, you know, he was trying to do right by people by making it cheaper. He also set up the Arthur Guinness Fund, which donated huge amounts of money to charities, I think still does today, and Guinness employees. And I know this from kind of firsthand. Guinness employees were very well looked after. I don't know if you ever heard about this, but like they had healthcare, pensions, higher wages than other businesses at the time. In 1928, Guinness employees were given on-site medical and dental care, two free pints after each shift, and full pensions. And it was one of the first companies to ever offer employee benefits. And I know this through my grandmother, who would talk about her relatives who'd worked at Guinness's. They worked at Guinness's. And we had, this is such a random story. My great granddad was called Barney, right? My whole life we talked about great granddad Barney. I think this was her dad, right? Granddad Barney. And one day, I don't know, I would never forget, I was sitting in her kitchen, she's pottering about and making dinner or whatever. And I said something about granddad Barney. And she said, well, his name wasn't Barney. So what was his name? Thomas. What the fuck was he called Barney? So she says, oh, there was too many Thomases in Guinness. So they just called him Barney.
Too many people worked for the
company
called Thomas.
Too many people called, everyone was called Thomas. So they just gave them different names. So my whole life I grew up thinking I had this great granddad Barney who wasn't called Barney. There was just too many men called Thomas.
But why, why was he so accepting of Barney?
I have no fucking clue.
Because like, I'm just called you and I didn't pick it. But if someone went, hey, you're Roland.
Right?
I would say, no, I'm not.
I'm not.
I'm Shane.
He just took that. We laughed so hard because she said it so matter of factly, like it was Thomas, but it was Barney. Anyway, her mother was very well looked after, even after he'd passed away and everything. Like they were really good employers.
Have we found in many episodes of doing this the first like thoroughly decent guy?
Maybe.
I mean, knowing the way the way these stories you talk about go, he probably found after this, like just before he died, the nearest monastery, and there was 12 monks. He probably went in and bludgeoned them all to death.
Yeah, just because he hadn't done much else in his life. Oh, do you know what? That reminds me.
Oh, no.
That reminds me, Shane.
Go for it.
There's rumours that he was a British spy. I totally forgot.
For God's sake.
There's rumours that
for God's sake.
He was a British spy.
The Brits went, try and create something that they'll rely on. And he said, no worries.
Yeah.
And then he sent them over a pint of it and goes, yeah, we've got them.
That'll be it.
We've got them.
Yeah, I did try and find more information on that, but that article is behind a paywall.
Access denied. Access denied.
They've done that.
So I just
They've done. He wasn't the British spy. Yes.
Yeah. Fuck them.
Yeah.
Because Brits are at it again.
Because they can't see us do something good.
Do you remember the ads?
Honestly, the best ads of all time. See the one with the black and white one with the horses in the water.
He waits. That's what he does. And they'll tell you what. Tick followed tock followed tick followed tock followed tick.
I was going to say, yes.
Surfing. Oh,
yeah. Let me find a little fact on that for you. Got a little fact on that. Hold on.
We should do it again.
Oh, my God. We should. Surfer. It was called Surfer. It was in 1999.
Yeah.
It won the Cannes Golden Lion Award and various other awards as well. They have Amazing. Won so many awards for advertising down the years. They actually were kind of the first company to have like proper advertising campaigns.
Yeah.
And you were right to say the first slogan was Guinness is good for you. And there was, a toucan.
Toucan, yeah.
Yeah, they had the toucan on the poster. And it was, Guinness is good for you.
I love all that old, like, art.
They were lying, but, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, the art
when you go to a pub
beautiful.
And you see the old proper stuff, all the tin, like, boards. Yeah, I love all
that. I love all that stuff. And even, it was up until the 50s, mothers in hospitals were still being given Guinness by their doctors. Like, I mean, you know what, fair play. That slogan lasted for about 40 years. Until, as I said, it got a bit more regulated. There was Guinness for strength.
Regulators.
Fuck that. Guinness for strength. There was the ad with the guy carrying a girder. I don't know if you remember that. It's quite an iconic image. He's carrying this huge.
Oh yeah, 100%
girder.
He's like a big, muscly guy with a white shirt. I think.
And he's blue. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It says Guinness for strength. They had My Goodness My Guinness.
Yeah.
Lovely Day for a Guinness.
Yeah.
They had lots of different things, won loads of different awards. They were working with a London-based advertising company and have worked with loads of different people. And then obviously moved into TV and all these different things happened. And the last thing I'll say on that is, now that they weren't able to use their original slogan anymore, there was another campaign in 1983, which I adore. It was just a picture of an empty pint glass and it said, Guinness isn't good for you.
Love that.
Isn't that great?
Love that.
And then some vicar in some little town in England picked up on it and put up a sign outside the church that says something like, Godlessness isn't good for you. And it ended up in all the media. And so it was a huge, huge campaign. Anyway, they've done very well. Now, a new segment, Quickfire Facts.
Love this.
Are
also,
you ready?
I hate that you've set the bar for this because I might have to do Quickfire Facts in future episodes. I didn't know we were doing facts.
Oh, yeah. We did sort of start this saying there weren't going to be many facts.
All right. Hit me with some.
Maybe some of these are lies. We don't know. Okay. There are only 4 ingredients in Guinness. And what I've written here is, can you name them?
Barley.
Sure.
Malt.
Yep. Hops.
No, hops isn't it. And.
Wheat.
Catholicism.
Love.
Love.
Water. Barley. Did you say barley?
Yeah.
Hops. Hops are in there.
I thought malt.
No, yeast.
Yeast.
Yeast. Last one. We'll say the 5th ingredient is love.
Yeah.
Yeah, lovely. Okay, great. Those are the ingredients. The white balls in the cans of Guinness.
Yes.
You're familiar?
Yep.
They're called widgets.
I think I've been told that, but for a million quid, I couldn't tell you what they were called.
So they're called widgets. They're filled with nitrogen-infused beer. They're not just little balls. They actually have a little pocket of nitrogen in them. Your face is brilliant right now. And that creates the foamy head when you open the can. It releases the nitrogen into the rest of the liquid and that creates the foam. That's the lengths that they go to make canned Guinness as authentic as possible. And it won the award for best invention of the last 40 years, beating what thing? This was back in like, say, the 90s. Best invention of the last 40 years.
I don't know, like the TV. No, that's longer than that.
Yeah.
The TV.
But you're on the right track. It was the internet. It beat the internet as the best technological invention of the past 40 years.
Yeah, I probably spent more time thinking about the internet
than you have the widget.
Yeah.
But they're clever.
But that's unbelievable.
That's fucking great,
isn't
it?
Yeah, it's really good.
Great facts. Okay. It's brewed in more than 150 countries.
Mm-hmm.
Worldwide, how many glasses of Guinness do you reckon are sold every day?
Every day?
Every day. How many glasses of Guinness?
73 million.
10 million. You've aimed high and I like it.
Yeah. But it's always annoying when people guess more than the thing.
It is a little.
Because it takes a shine off the thing.
I wanted you to say like five.
What if it's Paddy's Day though?
73. 73 million. Exactly. That's what it says here.
And 70 of them are made?
Yeah. 3 million pints are brewed daily at the original brewery. 40% of Guinness is consumed in Africa. But which country consumes the most Guinness?
Nigeria.
Fucking Great Britain.
What?
Yeah.
The Irish have moved over and everyone wants that connection to home.
Yeah.
If you want to feel connected to home, what are you going to do? Drink.
Or they're happy to take our Guinness, but not our traditions. Guinness Extra is vegan. I wanted to get that in there for our vegan listeners.
Fair. Yep.
You can have a Guinness Extra if you're vegan. Until 2009, blood donors in Ireland used to get a pint of free Guinness after they gave blood.
That's great.
Until 2009.
Don't take that away. Keep that. That's nice.
That's a nice incentive, that's a nice thing, isn't it, to give blood? Yeah. Bring it back, we say. Bring back free Guinness for blood donors. That's a long hashtag.
It's a niche cause.
It's a niche cause. There's maybe more important causes, difficult to say. You mentioned earlier that there's something about the right setting for having a pint of Guinness.
Yes.
It has been scientifically proven that Ireland is the best place to drink Guinness.
Of course. In Donegal by a fire?
Well, I suppose anywhere in Ireland. There was a study done in 2017. And according to people surveyed in 33 cities, 14 different countries, it actually... seems to prove that they enjoyed it more in Ireland.
A cottage in Donegal.
Yep.
Slightly old cottage. Mm. Open fire.
Yeah.
Van Morrison on a record player.
Wee dog.
I'm not really a dog guy, but okay, as long as it's not one of the ones that jumps on you.
It doesn't jump.
Is it just sitting there?
It's just lying there by the fire, Shane.
Pint of Guinness. Or in a bar in Donegal. And the barman owns it. It's the bar owner's wee dog.
Lovely.
And the bar is named after the dog.
What's it called?
Peter Andres.
Okay. Last fact I have for you is about the Guinness Book of World Records, because we haven't
mentioned
that.
Oh, yeah.
There's all that as
I'm
well.
I'm in it.
It's just got fingers in pies.
Yeah.
Irons in fires.
I'm in it.
What?
I'm in it.
What do you mean you're in it?
Guinness Book of Records.
Doing
I'm in
fucking
it.
What? What are you doing?
Boot, longest boot through. Wellington boot through.
This isn't true. This is, you're lying to me.
I'm not.
You're in the Guinness Book of World Records for the longest Wellington boot throw.
Yep.
I'm going to need that on my desk Monday morning.
The boot? I can't. I don't know where it is. Through so far.
That's not true.
It is. Longest single Wellington boot throw by a white male.
This isn't true. This is the stupidest thing you've ever said, but I'm Googling it just to make you stop talking. Longest single Wellington boot
throw by a white male.
A white male specifically?
Yeah. It might be different. Other ethnicities might have different guys.
This is an actual thing.
Yeah.
You're obviously not in the Guinness Book of World Records, but this is a thing.
Well, someone might have beaten me then.
Farthest distance to throw a Wellington boot / gum boot, often called welly wanging.
Yeah. I've welly wanged.
Are you a welly wanger?
Not anymore, but I used to be.
Are you a professional welly wanger?
I was 7 days a week, I was welly wanging, yeah.
You want to be careful with that, you go blind. Right, anyway, look, come here, last fact. Guinness Book of World Records came about because in 1951, the managing director of the breweries, Sir Hugh Beaver, he got into an argument down the pub with his mate over something. It said what it was boring. But the point was, one guy was saying this thing, another guy was saying that thing, and they had no way to confirm it. There's no like reference books about this thing. And he decided to publish a book that could end these kinds of disputes. So in 1954, Guinness gave away 1,000 copies of their book of records as like this marketing ploy. Very clever marketing. Yeah. And today the Guinness Book of World Records holds its own record as the best-selling copyrighted book series of all time.
Even more so than Harry Potter? The Bible?
The Bible's not copyrighted. I think that's why they've put the word copyrighted in there, I guess.
Well, I know what I'm doing when I get home. I'm copyrighting the Bible. Cha-ching. Some unbelievable factor.
I know.
Love that.
Do you know
what that is? That's what? Like easing in, bit of conversation at the end. People are like, oh, I didn't get enough facts in the end.
Boom, boom, boom.
I'm going to have a Guinness in the airport.
Oh my God, do. Have one on me.
That'd be a lovely wee photo to send to the group, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Send us a little photo and post it when the episode goes.
Although, will it be as nice? Do you think Gatwick Airport probably isn't famed for its Guinness?
I can't imagine it's the best Guinness or setting to enjoy it in.
When Arthur set it all up, that's where he wanted you to enjoy it.
The departures.
At the EasyJet gate in Gatwick Airport in a rush.
Yeah. If you enjoyed the show, rate, review, subscribe so you get more.
Yeah.
Let us know what you think.
Yep.
Tell us how wonderful we are. We love that.
We're in the social medias.
We
are. Hazel Hayes.
Yeah.
Shane Todd.
Yeah.
You know, you'll find us.
We're all there. And tell your friends, tell your family, tell your...
enemies.
Yeah.
Sláinte.
And remember, until next time,
we're not fucking historians.
We're Not Fucking Historians is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.